So, good morning, and we're back in Romans 5, of course, and over the past 3 days, we've been thinking about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus through his death. We've been justified, we've been declared not guilty, which means that we have peace with God. We've been given the Spirit through whom we experience the love of God. And we stand in grace, living day by day with the grace of God that sustains and empowers us. And so we can rejoice, both in our hope and in suffering for his name. And the next three verses from verse 9 show us that there is so much more to come. But we're going to read the first 11 verses again of Romans 5, and Dorothy's going to read for us.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thank you, Dorothy. When we read about salvation in the New Testament, there are three different elements that it refers to. There's the past salvation achieved through the ministry of Jesus at his first coming. It talks about it in present terms as well, the experience of salvation through the ministry of the Spirit in his people. But there's also a future tense to salvation, salvation fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus. So if we're going to be really biblical about it, the answer to the question, have we been saved, is both yes and no. Yes, we've been saved through Christ from our sin and the judgment on it. But no, we've not yet been fully delivered from the sin that we battle daily, nor have we been given our resurrection bodies in the new creation. So Paul, so far, first he spoke about the present experience of salvation, the experience of those who are justified in Christ. Then he spoke about the past work that achieved that salvation, and now he turns to the future fulfillment of it. And he talks about our future hope in two ways in verses 9 and 10. Both times he says that we can look at the work that God has already done in Christ, and we can be confident that he will do more. I'm just going to read again verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So the judge of all has pronounced us not guilty. He looks on us and sees Christ's righteousness. We are justified. We're not to forget the cost of this. It's the sacrificial death of Christ that justifies us and enables us to have confidence in what is to come. And since we've been justified, Paul says, much more shall we be saved by Christ from the wrath of God. Through Christ, who has paid the wages of sin by dying in our place for our sin, God's wrath, his righteous anger at sin, has been turned away from us. But we know the day of wrath is coming. Romans 2:5 talks about it, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And I guess the question that Paul is answering here is Christ's sacrifice sufficient for that future day as well as for past and present? Well, we've been justified, and we cannot be unjustified. God's not going to change his mind and decide that Christ's sacrifice is no longer sufficient. He's not going to change his mind and decide that, well, actually, we're still guilty after all. In John 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." We were dead in sin. We are now alive in Christ, and so we have confidence that we will not be condemned at the last day. And then he goes on in verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." If you think back to verses 6 to 8 that we looked at yesterday, Paul uses some strong words to describe our condition without Christ. We're powerless, ungodly, sinful. Here he says, we were enemies of God. Those other words, powerless, ungodly, sinful, they're all one-sided. This is what we were. But enemies refers to two sides. We were utterly opposed to God and his ways, and God in holiness is utterly opposed to sin. Yet, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God in Christ. We were made friends. We were brought into the family of God. We were welcomed home. And if he has done that while we were enemies, then how much more can we have confidence that now we are his friends, we will be saved in the future sense. We will share his resurrection on the last day. And these are the amazing gifts of grace that God has given us in his love. Because of Jesus, we taste the benefits of justification and reconciliation now, and we'll know them in full then. But if we go on to verse 11, we see that actually there's something even better. There is something greater even than these gifts. There is something more that we can rejoice in than seeing God work through our suffering. Something more even than the hope of glory. He says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He doesn't say we can rejoice in God's salvation or in the hope that God has given us. He simply says we can rejoice in God. There's a risk when we look at all these things that we've been given. There is a risk that we become boastful, that our rejoicing becomes about ourselves. We can say, well, I've got salvation. I've been given the Spirit. I've been given hope. But these verses are so clear. We don't deserve any of those things. We would have none of those things were it not for the grace of God sending Jesus to die for sinners, for his enemies. We've not chosen God. We don't possess God. He has chosen us. And we can only say that he is our God because he has made us his possession. And so knowing this, knowing that we could be given nothing better than God himself, we rejoice. If we understand that we are justified, reconciled by Jesus, then we should be a people who are known for our joy. John Stott described it as, he said that we should be the most positive people in the world because we have reason to rejoice. Above all, we have been given God himself. We are united with Christ. We are brought into the family of God, and all of his gifts to us, they pale into insignificance in comparison with sharing eternity with him in his presence. Let's take some time to pray. And as we do, I'm going to just read from a psalm, from Psalm 73. These are words I've used many times. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Father God, we thank you that your salvation has dealt with our past sin, that historical, true, real, significant event of Jesus dying on the cross in our place, that event which changes history, that has been effective and sufficient for dealing with our sin. We thank you that we can walk in the blessing that has brought us day by day, that we stand in grace, that we are given grace that is sufficient for life and godliness. And we thank you, Father, for the future hope that we have that is secure in Christ. If he should die to save us while we were your enemies, how much more now that we are your friends, your children, will we know your full salvation when he returns. We thank you for the incredible gifts that you have given us, but we thank you, Lord, that above all you have brought us to know yourself. Lord, we could have nothing, no gift from you that compares to the joy of being yours and being able to call you our God, of being yours and knowing that we will be with you for eternity and there will be nothing else that will separate us from that full experience of your love and the full joy of your presence. We thank you for those words of the psalmist. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, help us to know the reality of this. That there would be nothing on earth that we desire besides you and before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, folks.
Thank you.